Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing.
What sound does victory have? It does. Anyone else? What sound of victory does? What does it sound?
It is finished.
Amen. Amen. Someone else.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Anyone else? Sometimes victory also looks like a smile, doesn't it? Everyone is smiling. That's nice. It's not because maybe the circumstances, maybe are not changed, but our hearts is changed, you know? And we believe that the circumstances also change. So, hello, everyone. Good morning. If you wonder where my other half is, he's Lester with Pastor Jonathan. He's a ministry trip, so they're coming this afternoon. And I think they are talking this morning too, to people there. So this morning, I'm going to share a little bit, and then Kurt and Angelica will share with us. I've asked them this morning, or we've asked them, and they have prepared some beautiful things. So, yes. But before that, actually, I wanted to just talk. I don't know how long that will be. And that's fine. Just to recap a little bit what we've been hearing and going through as Kingdom Faith, as a church. And we've had incredible messages, and it has been incredibly deep. Like, it has been incredibly high. It's a rich time at the moment. It's beautiful. It's for us all to take up that banner and take up the word of God, actually. One of the things I wanted to share this morning is, like, our lives. I know we know that, but our lives are so rooted in the word of God. Like, our hearts, everything we are is like, we are like this in the word of God, so enclosed. And the hunger of the word is so important, to have the hunger of the word in our lives, that we never grow tired of reading, that we never grow tired of that psalm and that proverb and that parable. What I love about the word, I will do that actually in a minute. Like, Pastor Clive was talking about standing in your lentil fields. If you haven't been there, I will read you the scripture. Otherwise, you're thinking, standing in a lentil fields. Where is the lentil fields? What is it even? I looked up a picture this morning. What is a lentil field, actually? And it looks green. So that's all I know. So that's fine. So
Testament, isn't it?
Sorry?
Isn't it in the Old?
Yes, it is. And we will go there. It's in Samuel. So if you have a Bible, I would love to ask to go to 2 Samuel 23.
Sorry, I can't read at the moment.
That's fine. You can hear, though.
I haven't brought it.
Oh, good.
Yes, I can hear.
Yes, that's so good. So it's about David and his mighty warriors. So 2 Samuel 23, verse 8 to actually 12. I wonder, Andrew, would you mind reading it?
Yeah.
Maybe three verses, and then Jan can read another three verses.
These are the names of David's mighty men: Josheb, Bathsheba, Tachath.
Jan, are you glad you haven't been chosen for the first three verses?
He was the chief of the three, mainly because he could pronounce his name. He raised his spear against 800 men, whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai the Ahavite. As one of the three mighty men, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pas Damim for battle. Then the men of Israel retreated.
He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him, only to plunder. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop there, where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory.
That's so true. And I would love us to focus on that that lentil fields. And Pastor Clive was also saying, but I'd love to expand a little bit on that. When the Philistines banded together, the place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them, but Shammah took his stand. Jan was talking about stationed. I like that word, stationed. He stationed himself in the middle of the fields. He stationed himself in the middle of the fields. He didn't go in the corner. He stationed himself in the middle so he could look everywhere. And what did he do? He defended it. You know, he defended his own territory. He defended his own fields, his own land. And, you know, and when you go and bring that into this time, I don't have a lentil field. I don't have I have a piece of grass. You know, I have a piece of grass. Some of you don't have a piece of grass in your garden. You know, but if you think about it, okay, so my lentil field, what is my lentil field? What is my piece of grass that I'm looking after, that I'm defending? Am I? Are you? Are we defending our land? And how do we defend it? And I wanted to just share that with you. No, you can say, but how do we defend the land? How do we share the land? How do I look after my land? How do I do that? How do I stand in my land? You know, it's so important in this time to stand. Like, I'm hearing it everywhere, and I'm reading that, like, the armor of God, to stand in the armor of God, in the helm, with the helm of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. It talks here also about the sword, and to stand in your land as a confident person, a son of God, a daughter of God. We have given all the authority to defend, to cast out, to say no over your land. And we all have to, and I'm rising up in my land to say, till here and no further out. You know, in my family, in the place where I work, I wasn't like, I don't know if you know, I told some of you, but I've been starting some volunteer work in a hospice. And I work in the cafe, St. Barnabas, just down the road. And I love it. It's my lentil field. It's my field where I say, no, I'm so sorry. You know, where I spread positivity, where I smile. You know, where are you? Where is your lentil field? What is the place that God has given you to stand, to rise, to say, yes, Lord, you rule and reign in this situation, but no, enemy, you have to get out of there. And this is what God is asking us this season, to not just sit and look at it and to say, oh, well, whatever. No, no, no. God wants us to say and to step up and say, no. This is not going in my garden. This wheat is rooted up. And on Wednesday, we were praying, and I've been here and there doing it. And I just, Psalm 34, actually, I'm going to share with you how we stand in our land. How do you stand with the armor that God has given you in the land? Because God wants you, God wants us to stand in your land. Whether you see a change or not, I was really struck by that the other day. I will only speak positive, okay? Certain things are negative, but whatever I speak, I don't just speak it in the natural, I speak it in the spirit, you know, and that's how we need to talk. When I pray, I don't just say, God, please, no, God, victory over your anointed one. You know, that is speaking in the spirit, whether I see it or not, salvation over my neighbor. She's not saved yet, but I will speak salvation over her because that is my land. It's what I've been given to pray for. It's also, and I wanted to also say, in our land, we've got responsibility. We've got responsibilities. You've got a responsibility to defend your land, to speak well of your land, to say, well, that's going on, but God is on our side. That is happening, but God. And by speaking things out, it creates in the spirit. It creates. God's words bring life. It will never return void. It will never return void. So if you are contending for something and you're not seeing that happen yet, keep going. Keep speaking out in the spirit. Keep declaring. Jan was telling me a story about your granddaughter's partner, and she was praying. She didn't see it, but prayed. I prayed for my brother like a few weeks ago, and I was burdened by it. I woke up in the night and I was like, God, the only thing I can do is to declare and declare victory. I'm not seeing it. I have seen it now, thank God. But there was a week where it could have gone left or right, and left wasn't good. Right wouldn't have been good. You know, and God wants us to shift in the spirit, and he wants you to shift situations in the spirit. And in this situation, I was on my knees. I was that persistent widow, and I was praying and I was crying out for God and saying, I will not let this happen to my brother. I rose up. It was, you know, when you have a burden and the only thing you can do is pray. And literally, I prayed, I declared, and I will do that in a minute. But you know, and then the burden left. It was beautiful to see. It was honestly, I've had that before, but this was, it was so in me. And when I did it, half an hour or whatever, I could breathe. And that's assignments that God gives us in our land. You know, this is my land. My brother is my land. He doesn't know that I cried and I was on my knees and I had sleepless nights, honestly, because you so work yourself up in the night. You can't go back to sleep in the night. Like, I'm so sorry. But it was a week, you know. But it is that burden to pray, and that is in our land. So what we did actually on Wednesday, actually in the prayer meeting, on the Zoom call, you know, we stood in our land, and I want us to stand in our land. And I just want you to give a quick example of how to stand in our land. I'd like a drink. So if you have Psalm 34, that would be good if you can find it. So I'm going to have someone's... Caroline, can I pray this on behalf of you? I'm going to stand with you in your land, but I'm going to give you an example of how to stand in your land. So Psalm 34, it says, I will extol the Lord at all times. So over my land, I am going to say, over Caroline's land, I'm going to say, the family farmer will extol the Lord at all times. Amen. That is, we're going to replace the I will. I'm going to speak over James, over Alan. extol the Lord yes. at all times. Amen. Let his praise be on their lips. Yes. Now, do we see it in that way? Not completely, yeah. But I'm speaking in the spirit. Amen. It creates a life. You know, when you have a rock, you chip at it and you chip at it and it breaks into pieces. That is what the word of God does. It breaks, it shatters, is the authority that's in the word. That is what breaks things, because it's God's word. It's not my words, it's God's words. And then they will glory in the Lord. I'm speaking that out over their family. They will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted, let them hear it and let them rejoice. And I speak over them, glorify the Lord. Glorify the Lord over Kingdom Faith. I speak over us. Glorify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. Now I'm standing in my land. I'm taking my position. What is my position? In Christ. His word is Bible rooted base. His word, his foundation. And then I saw the Lord and he answered me. Jesus, I pray over their family, over Kingdom Faith, that we will seek the Lord. And then you answer us. When we seek, you will find. When you knock, he will open. You know, that is taking the words and praying it over your land. And those who look to him are radiant. And I thank God that Caroline, you are in your land looking at God and you are radiant. Amen. And people will see your radiancy. You know, this is taking a stand in your land. This is taking a place in our land and keeping taking a hold of it. Their faces, Caroline's faces, will never be covered with shame. Amen. Never covered with shame. The poor men call, they call you and the Lord hear them. You save them out of all their troubles. And then I love this. And I pray that over us as Kingdom Faith, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. The Lord is encamping around us. The Lord's angels armies, what Pastor Jane was saying, is encamping around us. It's encamping around your family, in your marriage, whether you see it or not, in your house, in your work. The angel of the Lord is encamping around you. And then also this one, taste and see. Take a stand in your land and say, you will taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. In the spirit, I speak it out. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fred, you're blessed. Amen. Because you make the Lord your dwelling place. You are blessed. And then fear the Lord, O Kingdom Faith, you his holy people. For those who fear him, they lack nothing. Maybe we need to speak that over ourselves, you know? Because I fear the Lord. And fearing is not being afraid, it's being in awe of him. I read the other day, I loved that actually. I read the other day the story of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son ran to the father. But what about the older son? And we always also talk about that. But you know, he was jealous. But you know why he was jealous? Because he didn't remember what he had. Let us remember what we have. You know? Let us remember who is with us and on our side. Jealousy, comparison, fear, all of those things creep in when we forget what we have. You know, and I found that so cool to see, because we've got everything. And the fear of the Lord is not being afraid, it's by worshiping him. And you know, this being in all of him. And that is also what I felt Jesus is doing with us as a people. From singing songs, he's taking us to encounter. You know, we can sing a song. We can sing Our God Reigns. But he wants us to encounter God in that speaking out. He wants us to encounter him, be on our knees. You know, from singing a word or singing words to God. Whoa, you reign. Amen. Wow, you reign. Knowing the truth, knowing the Bible, knowing the word, knowing what we have. That is what keeps us stable, that keeps us on the ground, that doesn't get us into fear of comparison or jealousy, which is such a thing. You say, oh, that house is bigger, I've got this, or that job is better, or, oh, I wish I had that. No. Go back to the word. This is what we have, and this is what we need. And God brings us in a place where you need to be. And that's the right place to be. Don't look at other people's, oh, I wish I had that, or I wish my life was like that and not like that. You know, I can tell you, everyone is walking through a storm. Yeah. The people next to you, behind you, they're walking through a storm. That house can look better and that can look greater, but the grass isn't greener on the other side. It isn't. Everyone has a story and a storm. But we are here to walk our storm and stand in the land well. So enough of that. Oh, one more thing. And then I'm going to let Kurt and Angelica talk because I would love to hear it. So also, I just wanted to... I wrote loads of things down. You know, we have also been talking about Ezekiel 47, you know, about from ankle deep to knee deep to waist deep and then all in. And I just love, we've been as a congregation really on a journey of growth. Okay, so what is the next step? And I just wanted for you to think in your own heart, what is my next step? Not necessarily here at church, but just in your own heart and in your own life. What is your next step? And I wanted to challenge, give you an opportunity, that's maybe a better, like to think, God, what is my next step in you? What is my next step in you? You know, and we can talk about that, and I thought it's a good thing to talk about. No, I don't want to be ankle deep. I don't want to be knee deep. I don't want to be waist deep. I want to be all in. But how do I get from waist to my knee, or from my knee to, oh, I trust God, but, you know, and I would love for you, and I can give you, you know, maybe you're at home and you're like, God, I don't know how to encounter you. That can literally be a question for you. I don't know how to read the word. I don't know how to pray. Like, I don't know how to, but he wants you to go from I don't know to give it a try. Do something. So if you're familiar with everyday reading the Bible, instead of reading the Bible, pray it. You know, stand in the word. Pray the words. And instead of just reading a scripture, because that's what I need to do, actually take a hold of it, because he wants to take you deeper and he wants to take you higher. He wants you to come to him and be hungry for him. He doesn't want you to be, oh, just do it and then I get on with my day. No, he wants you to encounter him in your day, also not just on a Sunday, but tomorrow when you go to work. Have you encountered him before you go? Sometimes it's not possible to have time before. I completely understand. But within your day or in the evening, where is your encounter? Which is, do you read the Bible, but it's dry? Do you pray, but it's dry? Do you struggle with speaking in tongues? You know, God wants to take you further. So I just would love for you to just, for a minute, what is the thing he wants you to pick up in God that you can grow in? and then I come back. Just a minute. Yeah, Jesus, you see where we are at. And I thank you that you never want us to let us stay there. You always want us to move forward in you. And I pray that everyone in this room will make that little step. And maybe that's from just reading the Bible, it's actually sitting and meditating and then praying it. Jesus, I thank you for strength to do that. And I thank you for that river of life flowing when we read your word. And maybe some of us have been like, oh, I do it every day already. I'm getting so much already. Maybe it's time for you to share it with others. Maybe it's time for you to say, hey, I'm gonna help you understand it. I'm gonna take you by the hand. I'm gonna help you. Because some of us have a deep well and it's wonderful and it's beautiful. And it's the same for me. I love spending time with Jesus. But it's a bit more harder than to take someone else on that journey too. But it's so rewarding and it's so beautiful. Jesus, I pray that we as King of Faith here in Worthing, but also as a church, that we all take a step or a leap even. And when we take that step, that leap, you meet us there. Thank you that well in our hearts is getting deeper and deeper. And I pray for everyone who's feeling dry. Thank you that you refresh every well. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I've also asked, I just wanted to move on, Cousin Angelica to talk a little bit. That's their step up. You know, when you step up a little bit, you have to prepare, you have to think, you have to... Yeah, so we're still a little bit in the... It's funny, we are still in the names of God, but it keeps kind of... It's a bit different and then it's... But the names of God will be a bit central this morning too. And yes.
Hello, good morning, everyone. So we already, you know, shared earlier. So what I'll be sharing today, so God as Savior. We have, so back in the Philippines, we have this small booklet, which is called Jesus Christ Alone. So that's what we use to like evangelize people. And I've, you know, God's telling me to like just share it with you guys. I mean, by God's grace, we all are saved here. But it would have been nice if, you know, there are some people who are, you know, we brought in church. But anyway, I'm still happy to share. Yes, we're speaking in spirit. Amen. For our families who are unsaved. Amen. And our friends, our neighbors, everyone. So yeah. So in that booklet, there's it presents seven truths about God. And then there's seven pieces as well. So I'll be sharing the perfect God, the purpose, our purpose, the problem, the penalty, the provision, and then the personal response and the privilege as well. So I'll go through each one of it and then I'll back it up with the scriptures as well. So first is the perfect God. So God is perfect, thus he is worthy to be loved and obeyed above all. So the first one is God is perfect in all that he is. So in Isaiah 6:3, it says, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So this is Isaiah's vision of seraphims, of angels. So as we all know, I'm not sure, they have, seraphims have 6 wings. So 2 to cover their eyes, and then 2 to cover their feet, and then the other 2 to fly, of course. So apparently, they would close their eyes while, you know, singing those praises, because if they see God, they will die. So yeah, but if I was the angel, I would like pick a little bit. But then I would die. You know, it's a once in a lifetime, you know, opportunity. But yeah, so, and holy, it's repeated like 3 times. Holy, holy, holy. It just emphasizes how holy God is. And then the phrase, the whole earth is full of his glory. It means, you know, that the whole earth, that God is, it only means that God is omnipresent in throughout the world. And then God is perfect in all that he does. So in Genesis 1:1, as we all know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then 1:31, Genesis 1:31, it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Okay. So yeah. And then there is only one perfect God. Isaiah 45:5, it says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. Amen. So do we all agree that God alone is worthy of worship?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. So the purpose. Now we're going to talk about our purpose, which is to love and obey God above all. So man is created to love God above all. Mark 12:30, the first commandment. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So to love God is to worship God. It involves knowing, desiring, enjoying, fearing, trusting, and valuing God above anyone and anything else. So that's in Psalm 73:25-26 and Luke 14:26. So man is created to obey God above all. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. And man is required to love and obey God perfectly. Matthew 5:48 says, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So would you say there is anyone who perfectly loves and obeys God? No. So that brings us to the problem. So the problem is all man have sinned by not loving God and not obeying him as well. So man sinned by not loving God. So John 3:19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than the light. So man is sinful by nature. Yes. He loves darkness rather than the light, who is Jesus Christ. Darkness or sin is anything that is morally evil. We all know this. Lustful thoughts, lying, cheating. However, it is also anything that is morally good, like friends, work. I can see your faces. Friends, work, family, education, if we value them more than God. Right. So that becomes a sin. Man sinned by not obeying God as well. So Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, as we all know, and fall short of the glory of God. And in James 2:10, it says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. So even if you keep nine of those commandments and you fail in one, you still failed. If loving God, so the question here is, if loving God is the greatest commandment, what is the greatest sin? Amen. So what does all mean? What do you think? So we are all guilty, obviously. So what does all mean? What do we deserve then? Reward or penalty? If we're guilty, penalty. So now we're in at the fourth P, the penalty. So eternal death in hell is the penalty for man's sin. Because God is holy and just, he demands punishment for sin. If God does not punish sin, it means he is not good and righteous judge. So the penalty of sin is death. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. And then the final penalty for sin is eternal separation or suffering in hell and separation from God. So 1 Corinthians 16:22, it says, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. So that means to be, you know, condemned in hell. And then and Matthew 10:28, it says, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then Mark 9:44, where the worm, so this is just a picture of how scary, you know, hell is. So where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So, you know, it's continuous, it's eternal as well. So because God is perfect, only perfect people can go to heaven and thus escape hell. Is this a good news or bad news? I would say bad news, yes, because Vicky, that's okay. So why the...
Vicky, you're perfect.
You are not perfect, Vicky, so you're fine. The fifth truth presents the good news. So I think that it is very important for us, like when we share, you know, about salvation, when we share the good news as well, it's important for us to share the bad news. So then we will appreciate the good news, yes. So the good news is, so the provision. So Jesus Christ alone can represent God to man and man to God, for he alone is both God and man. So he's not a demigod. He is 100% man, 100% God. Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there were three things that Jesus Christ did to provide salvation for us. So the first one is Jesus Christ lived a perfect life for man's perfection. So Romans 5:19 says, for as by one man's disobedience, unfortunately, Adam, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, who is Jesus Christ, many will be made righteous. And then the second one that he did is, the second thing that he died a painful death for man's punishment. So since God is a righteous God, this is the punishment. But God, so Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then the third thing that he did is Jesus resurrected from the dead for man's salvation. Romans 4:25, Christ was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification, which means being perfect in the eyes of God. So how do you think man can be saved from hell and be accepted by God in heaven? So I've got options here. Letter A, by doing good works? No. By church or religion? No. By baptism? No. By faith in Christ plus good works? No. So letter E will present, so this is the personal response. So the personal response is, this is a 6P, you must repent and believe in Christ to be eternally saved. Yes. Amen. So you must repent from your sins. Acts 3:19 says, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. So true repentance is a change of mind and heart and a genuine decision to turn away from sin towards God. So that's in Acts 20:21. It is realizing that sin dishonors God, does not give lasting satisfaction, and its end is eternal separation from God in hell, which is very scary. It also involves forsaking anything you have added to Christ for your salvation, like good works. Good works can't, you know, save us. So you must, and then the next step is you must believe in Christ alone. So Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Amen. So true faith is trusting Christ alone, especially his finished work of salvation through his perfect life, sacrificial death, and resurrection. True faith is also receiving Christ for who he is, God, Savior, Lord, and Master. The primary goal of saving faith is reconciliation. We want to be reconciled with God. That's our primary goal. And intimacy with him through love and obedience for life and eternity. And escaping hell and going to heaven are only secondary. So the privilege. God declares sinful man perfect and eternally saves him. So man can be perfect in the eyes of God by grace through faith. So at the very moment a person repents and trusts in Christ alone for salvation, he becomes instantly and permanently perfect in the eyes eyes of God. This is on the basis of Christ's perfection counted as his. So the Bible says, but to him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So are we all familiar with a story about the thief who became perfect in the eyes of God? So during crucifixion, the thief repented and fully trusted Jesus Christ to save him. And then that's when Jesus told him, today, I know you're all very familiar. Today you will be with me in paradise. That's in Luke 23:43. And then why? So the thief, it's because the thief genuinely repented and believed in Jesus Christ. And then how? So the death of Christ erased all of his sins.
That's right.
And then the perfection of Christ was counted as his.
Amen.
So just imagine the thief having a dirty white shirt and then Jesus Christ having a dirty shirt. And then when he truly repented, he genuinely repented and believed in Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ then gave his clean white shirt to the thief. And then Jesus took the thief's dirty white shirt. So we are all wearing that white shirt by God's grace. So the privilege. Now I need the audience participation. So God declares sinful man perfect and eternally saves him. So I want you all to, like, after I, you know, read each privilege, I want us all to say amen. So having the presence and the perfection of Jesus Christ does not only make a sinful man perfect in the eyes of God, but it also results in many other wonderful eternal privileges, such as, so number one, forgiveness of all sins, past, present, and future.
Amen.
Amen. Number two, eternal reconciliation with God.
Amen.
Amen. Number three, being a child of God for life and eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Number four, sure salvation from the punishment of sin in hell.
Amen.
Amen. Number five, having eternal life now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Number six, having the permanent presence of Jesus Christ in one's life.
Amen.
Amen. Number seven, having real satisfaction through glorifying God by loving and obeying Him above all.
Amen. Amen.
So thank you guys. Christian life is not easy. We all know that. It involves sacrifices. However, it is worth it, for there is nothing in this world more wonderful and satisfying than having Christ and loving Him above all. This is why Christ said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
Right.
Amen. So John 10:10. In God's presence, there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
Amen. So I would like us all to answer the following questions in our mind. Have you already experienced the wonderful privileges of salvation?
Yes. Amen.
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 Are you sure you are going to heaven and not hell?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Do you already have the presence and perfection of Christ?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, we do. Have you genuinely repented from your sin and put your trust on Christ alone for your salvation?
Amen.
Amen. We did. Yes. So this is the call. If you are already saved, praise the Lord!
Amen.
Keep valuing and following Him until the end. However, if the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart right now that you are not yet saved, repent and believe in Him, for behold, now is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Amen. So let me just pray quickly. So Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time, Lord God. Thank you for this opportunity to step up, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. We admit that we are sinners. We are deserving of eternal death in hell, Lord God. We admit that we're helpless to save ourselves. We humbly come to Jesus Christ, Lord God, and we ask for His forgiveness and to be reconciled with You. We also ask You to rule our life and to make us a person who loves and obeys Jesus Christ. And we claim God's promises that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord, that You are so real that we can taste and see Your goodness, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's me. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Well done.
Okay, your turn, baby.
Can't follow that. Okay. Thank you, Angelica, for the beautiful message. Thank you. Yes, it was very beautiful. Hello, everybody. So today I'm going to be talking about God the potter in our lives. So we all have this image of a potter, you know, being very, you know, making beautiful ceramic stuff, plates, you know, all those things that we use in our daily lives. So I'm going to start with a verse, Isaiah 64, verse 8 to 9. It says here, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you our potter. And all we are the work of your hand." So the relationship between the potter and the clay is very intimate. I've never been to a pottery class, but but as they said with people that I know, it really needs 100% concentration. You know, you hold on to it, you never let go. Thus, the potter never takes away from the clay, hands always on the clay, molding the clay with care and patience, adding pressure on the sides to make handles, to make openings on the clay, to make it into something beautiful. And that is what God is in our lives. So God is our potter, and as above, God wants to be intimate with us. God is always with us. His hands is always present in our lives. And, you know, as Andrea said, we should remember that and not take that for granted. And his desire and purpose for us is, you know, to worship him, to glorify him. So I just want to go ahead and then make that correlation. In Genesis 2, verse 7, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." So just like in Genesis, God made us from the dust in the ground, just like how the clay is. Like clay, he gave life from his breath, created the most intricate system in our flesh, in our organs. And as how science keep developing, keep improving on how we work, it just shows how God really made us very, you know, perfectly well.
That's right.
Amen to that. And then it shows that our God is almighty, sovereign, all-powerful, and all-perfect. You know, we can't make humans. You know, we can't make humans out of nothing. We always take inspiration from something living. Like how planes are made from birds, robots now made, you know, act, you know, made to act human. But the, you know, God, we can't do that. Only God can. So he's all powerful. There's no God before him, as he always existed outside of time and space.
That's right.
So, you know, we cannot expect God to be, you know, in our mind, putting him in a box. You know, he's beyond our understanding.
Yeah.
But to our nature, to sin and go against God, we use our free will to decide to be our own potter. So that means living life without God. So we ourselves decide to live without him. We don't want him to shape us. And in thinking we know better. And this is when we start to break, you know, because God made us. We separate from him with the gift of free will. And we start to break his creation, becoming unable to recognize him, that he is our God. Unable to recognize his will and his purpose in our lives. And just like in a clay, in a wheel, we become unstable. We get lost. We go find so many things that are, you know, not really helping us, that trying to fill that void. And just like the clay in a stable, we become dry, wobbly, no foundation. Like the, if you're like in a clay in a pot, it goes everywhere. Like the clay splats in the wall and everything else. But the wheel is still going, because that's how life is. But God's nature is good. He is just, and he never gives up on us.
Amen.
So I'm going to read this verse, Jeremiah 18, verse 1 to 7. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went to the potter's house, and I saw him, the potter, working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as his potter does? Declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. So as this verse says, it's amazing. I had a revelation when I was reading it after the week. It says in Jeremiah, God shows nothing in his hands is ever wasted. So even though we were splattered about, you know, we were like going lost, we are still in God's hands. Amen. He's still there. He's just here. Amen. Because it's our free will not to be shaped by him. So God can repair what is broken. So as a verse said, when he was looking at the potter, the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So, you know, it's we go in accepting God as who we are, broken and lost. And we accept that God, you know, accept God as our Savior. And then we go through these changes. Mm. Yeah, so much testimonies of Christians saying that they were transformed. So God can repair what is broken. Transform and make it new. What is once unrecognizable into what is pleasing to God, God wants us to trust him. Amen. So, you know, as this verse earlier, Andrew was saying in the prayer meeting, be still and know I'm God. Mm. So that's us becoming still as a clay in the wheel. And then tell God, shape me. And that's when his hands approach the clay.
Yeah.
So we surrender our will to him, to be centered to him, so long as we genuinely repent our sins, as Angelica was saying earlier, and obey him. His will is to bless us with abundance and with purpose in our lives, that of which to praise him, worship him, and glorify him. And God is a master potter. He's not any ordinary potter.
Amen.
Like us, you know, like if we go to a pottery class right now, it will take a whole day for us to even make a plate. But God he's the creator. He knows everything. He created everything perfectly in 7 days. Oh, 6 days, sorry. He makes everything perfect.
Amen.
So if you go to God and he will shape you, you will become new. You will become, you know, as I said, Jesus perfected through us. And like a potter, he will add water because we were dry.
Mm.
He needs water, continuous water to shape the clay. And guess who that water is? It's the living water.
Amen.
The living water, that of which we will never be thirsty again.
Amen.
The water that will make us born again.
Yeah.
The water that wash away our sins, his blood.
Yeah.
So, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3 verse 16. So that is Jesus, God giving Jesus for us as the water to mold us again. Into new. And to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, for us to be saved, for us to follow. Because, you know, how can we follow God if we're not to be perfected through Jesus?
Amen.
So Jesus needs to come down. So God wants our relationship to be intimate again. God wants us to go back to him with God. And this is kind of like my testimony, really. Like I was broken. I was lost for a long time, knowing I don't really need God. I don't need anything, you know. I can live through life floating. But God says, you know, that's not my plan for you. So before I remember a glimpse of, you know, being in a church, just sitting down in the back, you know, just listening, not believing. And then slowly but surely, you know, with Angelica and then God's revelation for me. Now, looking back and being here, sorry, Viv. it's a miracle for me to be even speaking for him, you know. And then, yes, as a testimony for people to be born again through Jesus with the Holy Spirit of being made new and to share the good news to the world and to share his love for others. And, you know, as a Christian now, born again, I would still call myself a baby Christian. You know, still learning, still so much things to do. So I want to read this verse because it's an everyday thing. For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And we go through life. It's not, you know, happy-go-lucky all the time. It's not smiling. But our foundation is with God. Amen. He is our firm foundation in us. As Seren was saying earlier, he was, you know, he's the anchor.
That's right. That's right.
And then the chain, you know, rooted in us so that his promise never breaks. He never makes promises that he breaks. So going forward, it's going to be encouraging for us, this verse. James 1, verse 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete,
Amen.
Not lacking anything.
Amen.
So, you know, God is still working through with us, you know, until we meet Jesus,
Amen.
until that day that Jesus arrives.
Amen.
So I want to end my message with a psalm. Psalm verse 139, verse 14. I'll make this a prayer as well. Heavenly Father, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. I'll declare it. Thank you, Lord. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. Oh, that's amazing. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Huh? Oh, yeah. I wrote a message here, actually. I'm not sure if I was going to say it, but...
Your wife tells you.
Yeah, but the Lord tells me now. So I have this revelation in regards to the verse of that James, verse 1 to 4. When we are struggling and we are, you know, easy to blame God, like, why me, Lord? Why am I going through things? Why is this me? Why, you know, you keep asking things, you keep blaming him. So I was looking at the word why, just looking at it for a long time. And I was like, when you switch it around, it becomes... Yahweh,
oh, yeah.
Basically.
Wow.
So it's missing an H, but the WH, if you flip around, I looked at the name of God. And that for me is a revelation to say, I'm going through this because there's a meaning to it. There's a purpose for God for me to go through it. Like as we've been saying, refining, you know, through the fire. So instead of me saying why going forward, I'd be like, yes, Lord. I embrace this journey. I embrace this going forward with you. So yes, thank you very much. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.